Before we come to our scripture reading this morning, I'd like to have you open your Psalters to page 50 and read with me Article 31 of the Belgian Confession of Faith. I will read the article for us. This deals with the ministers, elders, and deacons. The Belgian Confession gives us three articles, 30, 31, and 32, on church government. And our text will be from 1 Thessalonians 5. And you'll note that Article 31 is going to end by referring to that verse that we're going to have this morning. So Article 31, page 50. Of ministers, elders, and deacons, we believe that the ministers of God's word and the elders and deacons ought to be chosen to their respective offices by a lawful election by the church, with calling upon the name of the Lord, and in that order which the Word of God teaches, that therefore everyone must take heed not to intrude himself by indecent means, but is bound to wait till it shall please God to call him, that he may have testimony of his calling and be certain and assured that it is of the Lord. As for the ministers of God's word, they have equally the same power and authority wheresoever they are, as they are all ministers of Christ, the only universal bishop, and the only head of the church. Moreover, that this holy ordinance of God may not be violated or slighted, we say that everyone ought to esteem the ministers of God's word and the elders of the church very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace with them without murmuring, strife, or contention as much as possible. Now we open the scriptures together this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and our text this morning will be verses 12 and 13. Last Sunday morning in the installation service, we looked at the calling of the elder given in verse 14. Now in verses 12 through 13, we will look at the calling of the congregation, our calling toward the elders. Reading the scriptures in 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This morning we direct our attention to God's word in verses 12 and 13 of this chapter. We read, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." As I said last Sunday morning, we heard the word of God concerning the duty, especially of an elder, as it's given in verse 14. And now in verses 12 and 13, we want to hear the duty that is given to the congregation, our congregation, toward, especially and specifically, our elders. We noted that in this inspired word of God, these two are placed side by side. Because only when they are side by side and tied in love and obedience can the congregation of Jesus Christ prosper. When there are faithful elders who do their calling from God, from the heart, but also when the congregation is faithful to the elders who are over them in the Lord, and to show how close that relationship is, and to show the nature of that relationship. The apostle uses the word brethren. He ties the two together in the knot of brothers. We saw that that refers to the church, especially as the family of God. So we have in the text, verse 12, "We beseech you, brethren." Verse 14, "To the elders, we beseech you, brethren." We exhort you, brethren, in the family of God. So if the family of God is to prosper, there must be both faithful elders, but also in the congregation, esteem highly these men, both. Just like in your home, if the home that God gave you is to prosper, then there has to be faithful parents or parent who takes their calling very seriously from the Lord and warns, but also comforts, who also supports, who is patient. Those were the duties of the elders. But in the home, for there to be peace and prosperity, children and young people must respect, must esteem, must see their parents as a blessing of God. So in the church. Now I'd like to remind you last week that our form for the installation of the elders does not talk in that form only about the duty of elders, but also our duty. So we're addressing our duty as a congregation this morning. And the form said this after the elders and deacons answered the question that was put to them, the questions, and then they were exhorted to be faithful in their work. The form says, "On the other hand, beloved Christians, Receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourself willingly to their inspection and government. And then in the prayer at the end of the form, the prayer begins by again praying for the elders and the deacons. But then the form turns to us. And we prayed, grant also especially thy divine grace to this people, to our congregation, over whom they are placed, that we may willingly submit ourselves to the good exhortation of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. So there's our text. To the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, that is, when the congregation is conscious and spiritual to do their duty toward the elders and deacons, everyone acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged. The two go together for the prosperity of the church. Faithful elders, but a faithful congregation. And this, of course, is scriptural. This relationship, this calling of the church also to our office bearers. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today forever. And then verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Our relationship toward the office bearers also affects the heart of the church and whether the church is a profitable spiritual place for us. You may say that in a sense, a spiritual indicator of the congregation is always its bearing toward the office bearers that God has given. And I won't refer to some of the other passages I was going to about the Apostle Paul, who in his epistle, when he would send somebody, Timothy, Titus, Epaphroditus, he would always add words when he sent them to the congregation, receive them. Receive these men. And then I would remind you of Christ himself, John 13. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth the Father who sent me. So I want to call our attention as a congregation this morning to our duty to the elders. Esteem our elders highly in love, and we'll follow three things. We need to know who they are. We need to know what we owe them, to appreciate and to esteem them. And then finally, if only briefly, why we need to do that. Who are the ones that we are to esteem? We saw last week that the apostle has in mind especially the elders. And so we say the ones that we are to esteem are our brothers in this congregation, who have been given by Christ through this congregation a special office. Minister, elder, and deacon, specifically elder, who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So that's the first thing we want to have in our minds as to who they are. They are our brothers who have been called by Christ through this congregation to a special office. And I want to focus again and right here at that word brother, as we did last week. And now I want to point out not only that this is a reference to us as a family of God, but I want to point out to you that that word brothers, used now for the congregation, and for the office bearers is a reminder to us of the office of all believer brothers. Each child of God is a brother of the Lord and brother to each other, brothers and sisters. And the teaching of Scripture is that male members, female members, widows, children are given by Christ the office of all believer. We are in an office. We have been made by Christ, as our catechism teaches us, prophets, priests, and kings, so that we all, by the Spirit of God, know the Word of God, and it will speak to us. We all are to, as a priest, be dedicated in our lives of service to God. We all are to fight and rule as a king against our sin. And those three offices, the office of all believer, is now reflected in the congregation in the three specific ordained offices of pastor, deacon, and elder. The pastor, the prophet who brings to us the Word of God, the deacon, the priest who serves us in the Lord, and the elder who rules over us in the Lord. So the men appointed to this office, this special office, arise from the congregation and are chosen, according to the Word of God, from the congregation. Article 31 of the Belgian Confession, we believe that ministers, elders, and deacons are to be chosen to their respective offices by the, you may read, congregation. There's not a board somewhere that comes and puts them in office. They show up and they're in office. But they are chosen by us out of this congregation. And that's why we have a congregational meeting. We call upon the male members of the congregation, representing the office of all believer in the church. We call upon you to come and to choose. We do that in the way of the council, first choosing out men that the council believes are suited at this point for the office. The council does not simply choose itself and put them in. No. That's the calling of the office of all believer in the congregation. And then when those names come to us from the council, then we don't just put those names into a bowl and call on somebody in the congregation and come and say, well, choose out four slips of the elders. And now you choose out three for the deacons. We come prayerfully. We come to choose out. We come to use the wisdom personally. And we vote. And in this way, they are appointed by Christ himself. And so the Belgian Confession said, no one may intrude in by indecent means into the offices, but is bound to wait until it shall please God to call him. And the calling, to be a pastor, be an elder or a deacon, always comes through the church. And so the first question that is asked in the installation of elders and deacons is, I ask you whether you feel in your heart that you are lawfully called of God's church and therefore of God himself to this holy ministry. Do you believe that God is calling you through this church to your office? And those men stand up and they say, individually, yes. And we hear, and we say, yes. Yes. God has, from heaven, Christ, the Lord of the church, has given to us these men. We need to know who they are. Once again, as I said last week, they are mere men. We know them. We know them by grace as saved men. You know their names. You might have gone to high school with them. They may be your husband. They may be your father. They may be your blood brother. Maybe your cousin. You know more about them. You know their weaknesses and strengths. You know their character. You know whether they're timid or quiet, or whether they will be decisive and outspoken. You know if they are more reserved and sensitive. You know their gifts. You know their abilities. They are men. The Apostle Paul always would remind congregations of that with himself. And we tend to idolize the Apostle Paul, perhaps, but he knew he was a sinner. He says, I was with you in tears, in weaknesses, in fear, and in trembling. I was but a man. But none of that, since they have been chosen by God through the congregation, Christ has done this. Christ ruled over that order of appointing them. Christ ruled that. Because of that, none of that about what we know about their character, their personality, none of that determines how we must behave toward them. There is one thing that determines how we behave toward them, why we must esteem them. They are appointed by God's church, and thus by God himself. They come then in that authority of Christ in the congregation. We saw that last week, to warn the unruly, the disorderly, to comfort faint-hearted ones, to support the weak in their spiritual struggles, and to be patient with all men. And the apostle says, these are the ones who are over you in the Lord. They are representing the Lord. They are in the authority of the Lord. We are dealing here with the fifth commandment that we had a few weeks ago. All authority is Christ. And now in the domain of the church, he rules through servants that he sends, as we saw, through the office of all believers, through the church, he sends them. And therefore, they are the ones given of Christ to be our spiritual leaders, to watch over us, to admonish us in the Lord Jesus. What is our relationship to them? Our relationship as a congregation is not adversarial. The office of all believer does not stand up in opposition to the special offices of the church. The relationship is not, well, you guys better not tread on me. But the office of all believers is a spiritual calling to pray for them, to support them, to receive them, to do our utmost that their work be profitable. Yes, if we feel that we need to direct their attention to something, some mistake, or to the pastor who did not explain that well from the pulpit, or did not say that correctly. Yes, by all means, we come to them. But we don't come adversarially. We come as brothers with our calling to support, respect, and follow and obey those who are over us, who bring us the word. They are over us in the Lord, which means that they are the ministers who must bring us the word. And we realize that they will always feel, ministers, elders, and deacons, those who have served know this from their own experience, that immediately the first thing you experience as you sit down in the consistory or the council and you begin to go through the needs of the church, we experience that we're not sufficient. We are not sufficient for these things. The Apostle Paul himself, that great man, said, I'm not sufficient for these things. And then he says, my sufficiency is of God. And so who are they? Who are now specifically the elders? Deacon, pastor as well, but the elders. They are our brothers who have the same passions as we. Paul and Barnabas ran in among the people in the city of Antioch because they had healed somebody and they were going to bow down and worship them. Paul says, we are men of like passions as you. We are men. They are brothers who are men who have been called by God to their office, given a special office for us. For us. Specifically to maintain that gospel with us. But then the apostle also wants us to know something, if we're going to know who they are, something of the nature of their work. And so he describes them as they who labor in the text. They labor among you and are over you and they admonish you. And then he refers to them that we must esteem them highly for their work's sake. For their work's sake. So we must know about them that their work as elders and deacons is a tiring work. It's a work that requires them to throw their energies and their times and even more, their hearts and their souls into this work. It is a great work. Consciously, to be representing the word and the mercy, care and the wisdom of Jesus Christ. There is no greater work. They are not our, nothing wrong with tax accountants, they are not our tax accountants or investment portfolio advisors, and we entrust to them our finances. They are not simply carpenter that we would invest our home and the upkeep of our home to them, but they care for our souls spiritually. And when they take that up, then that's an exhausting work. The word labor refers to one who is physically exhausted. It's when you come home after a 14 or 15 hour day of physical labor and you crash into bed. So this work requires a man to be exhausted, maybe not physically, but emotionally and in their heart. And it's the type of work that when they want to go to sleep, they can't because it's on their heart. Because Christ has given them to love the congregation. It's a work in which we read here, they must admonish you, which means that's not an easy thing to do. That's not a pleasant work for the elders. That's a work that is very difficult for them. They must warn us. And so the elders deal with the sheep. And sometimes like sheep, sometimes we sheep act like a goat. Sometimes we, not acting like a goat, are weak and we have needs and we bring those needs. We lack wisdom. We need someone to come along and support us in our spiritual walk. We must esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. That's our duty toward them. Before we come to that duty, then we need to understand under that who are they? That means that we must not look to them, to the man, but as I've said, we must look to their office. We must always see behind the elder Christ. We sometimes like to excuse a sinful attitude toward them. We see their weaknesses. And we say, I don't like their work. Maybe we would say, well, everything the elder said was okay, but I don't like the way he said it. We look at the person. We talk critically, disrespectfully as we look at the person, or we compare them. I like this one. I don't like that one. When we see their imperfections, their infirmities, we must view them for who they are. Called of God, given of Christ, brothers in the Lord, given a special office through which Christ is pleased to govern, care, work the gospel in the church. We have in the text then two things. This is the what. What are we to do? Two things. We are to know them and we are to esteem them. That word know, I might have pointed out last week, we beseech you, brethren, to know them who are over you. That word know means appreciate. It means to appreciate them. It doesn't mean simply to know their name, to know their address, to know their phone number, to know their birthday, but it means to appreciate. You know them in the sense that you appreciate to the Lord. You're thankful to the Lord for their work. And so it's very similar to a wife and a mother in the home. Proverbs 31 verse 28 says that the godly woman, this woman that God has given, these many women that God has given to us in our church, her children, this is what the Bible says about them, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. The scriptures say that believing children and husbands know that their mother and their wife is engaged in a precious work, and they're very thankful to God for her and show that thankfulness. They don't come home thinking, well, she's done nothing all day. They don't just drop everything around and let her pick it up, but they appreciate her in love. We need to learn on many levels that appreciation. It means that we as a congregation have an empathy. We understand something of the difficulties of their labors, and we are thanking God for the blessing that they bring to our congregation. It means that we are aware of their work, the sacrifices and the many hours and the nights away from their family. We're thankful to God. We appreciate to God. We're thankful to God for this office. I say again, the office of all believer does not oppose the special office, is not adversarial in its bearing against the special office, but appreciates, helps. We become engaged as a congregation in the life of the church. We do what we can do. We pray for them. And so this is an admonition too. We must know them. This is an exhortation. Appreciate them. And that's because of our nature. Same nature that we can show to our wife and to our mother. Instead of appreciation, we say, well, isn't that what they're supposed to do? The example of a wife and mother again. You come home, to your wife and say, well, she's exhausted, she's been busy taking care of the home. Well, that's her work. Do you think, children, you think that's your mother's job? She just does that. Rather than thinking that she is a blessing. And so this word of God comes to us, appreciate them, because you and I are so selfish. And we put ourselves and our needs above everything else, and we have this do for me mentality. And what have you done for me lately? We must appreciate them. The appreciation is our appreciation to Christ. Now, certainly, we would all understand this, that we can't come to Christ and to the work that he has done for us on the cross, and we can't have the attitude, and sometimes we show we do, by saying, well, that's what he was supposed to do. Didn't the Father send him to die and suffer and be buried and endure the agonies of hell? And sometimes we hear, but we don't hear the marvels of the work of Jesus Christ and his grace. We take it for granted. We take it for granted. We say, Lord, what have you done for me lately? That's what the Father sent him to do. We can be spiritual blockheads. We can be sleepy souls. We don't treasure what Christ does for us. We are to praise him. We are to thank him. We are to devote our whole life of gratitude to him. And we also express that in the appreciation to our elders and deacons. We thank the Lord for them. We give them encouragement. But then secondly, we are to esteem them. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Let's look at the key words there in that phrase. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem. That word means to hold up in a high regard, to see something that it has great importance. They are to be held in high regard. Their counsel, their advice, their words, their decisions. To esteem someone means that you will follow them. There is a word to ministers, to elders and deacons. They must follow us, which means that our example, our spiritual example to them, our relationship to the Lord must be an example to them, that they follow us. We read Hebrews 13, whose faith, speaking to the congregation about the elders, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That means that we receive their admonitions. When they come to admonish us or to call upon us, we receive that. We don't push that away. We must receive that as from Christ. We must esteem them. We all know that if it's somebody that you don't respect, and you're wrong, and they admonish you in our civil life, that it's our flesh that likes to have those admonitions bounce off. But we also know that when it is somebody that we esteem in the Lord, and they come to admonish us, that hits home. You can remember that as a boy. I've talked to you about growing up in South Holland. You might think that it was a high spiritual time, but they were men too. But we did esteem them. We were taught that. But these men, I value and I bless God for them, even on this day that I was a boy and a teenager with the elders we had. They were good men of God. And I can remember once being admonished by an elder. He just said something to me. Don't do that. And that went right down. That wilted me right there. That was the work of the Holy Spirit in me. I esteemed them. And when they said, don't do that, I took that serious. Because I esteemed them in the Lord. That's a word for us as adults here, as elders, office bearers, office of all believers. Special offices of how we must conduct ourselves. They, our children, are to esteem us in the Lord. That also means then that we must be careful that we do not jump to conclusions about their work. Sometimes we get a glimpse into the work of the elders, we hear snippets. We jump to a conclusion, especially sometimes we look at the work of the elders through a jaundiced eye already. We don't know all of the facts. We don't know the hours of labors. And we become judgmental. And we're ready to say, well, what a terrible decision that was. To esteem them means that we will step back. We will think. Yes, they are but men. But God has sent these men to us to esteem them for their work's sake. We will not listen to everything we hear. And if we think it's serious enough, we will go and ask them to explain to us so that we can understand more clearly what they are saying in their decisions. Again, we will not be antagonistic. I'm going to say it again. The office of all believer is not antagonistic to the special offices. We esteem them very highly. We hold them in highest regards. We do that especially in front of our children. I've told you that too, that my father did not criticize office bearers in my presence. He would not allow any word in our family to be spoken. And so Psalm 48 tells us that we must go about Jerusalem, Zion, the church. We must point out the towers. We must mark well the bulwarks of the church. We must consider her palaces that we may tell it to the generation following us. We point out to our children biblical church government that they're representatives of Christ. They have come to us in the name of our Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing that we have these men. We esteem them very highly. And that word very is a comparison. And we are to esteem, obviously, authority. We are to respect. We are to honor authority, as we learned in the fifth commandment. Wherever that authority is, we respect, for Christ's sake, a policeman. We listen to him. We don't give him lip. We esteem our teachers. We respect and honor our boss. We show respect unto the aged and to the infirmed, because we're children of the King in this world. We're respecting Christ's authority. But now the scriptures here say, even more, especially in the church, we respect the authority of Christ in the elders for their work's sake. And we do this in love. In love for these men who are in the center aisle, for our elders. In love does not mean that we would ignore gross sins. We hold the honor of the church, the name of Christ, highly. We pray for our elders, and if there are gross public sins, then we must address them, and we will, by God's grace. But it means, in the sense of 1 Peter, that we love them. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, charity covers a multitude of sins. And the multitude of sins there is a reference to shortcomings, faults, lack of empathy. They are men. They don't pick always the right word. It's the same word that can apply to marriage, if I were to say that to us. Charity covers a multitude of sins in marriage. That's what we're supposed to do. So the point is that in love means we get beyond the messenger to the message. We don't slay the messenger to avoid the message. We listen to the message in love. It means, as I said, we don't criticize them openly, publicly. We go to them. If a minister makes a misstatement, if a minister is not clear, talk to him. And if the Spirit of Christ, an important spirit for every minister, is to be able to receive that for the glory of God and the good of the church, and to learn, he'll receive you. But we certainly don't publish it all over and see how many people are on our sides behind this one. That's not love. That's not love for the truth. That's division. And we must love them in a sacrificial love. The elders must love us in a sacrificial love. And the elders must not get the idea, look at all what I'm doing. It's nothing. It's a privilege to be able to give our hearts and souls for Christ's body, the church, because we love Christ and we love the church. But we also must have a sacrificial love for them. We give ourselves to them. We open our time for them. When they want to call upon us, we make ourselves available for them. We receive them in Christ's name. Why do we do this? And be at peace among yourselves. Jesus Christ cannot be honored in the congregation if elders and deacons are not honored. Be at peace among yourselves means that not only be at peace as members of the congregation with each other, certainly that applies here, that's certainly what the Spirit means, brethren, be at peace among yourselves, be at peace from family to family, from member to member, be at peace. But the Holy Spirit means also be at peace with the office bearers by esteeming, respecting, and honoring them. For this, be at peace among yourselves, for this is profitable, says the apostle, for you. This is profitable. This is good. That's what he says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It is profitable for you This is the way of unity and peace in the church. That's something that we treasure. Peace and unity in the church is something of greatest importance. It's of greatest importance, as we saw over this past week in God's Word, that we are standing in the last hour, just before the dawn. Always it's important for the church to be united. It is crucial for us that we be united as we live in these days. We can't be united in anarchy. We can't be united if all the order of the church is cast away. There can be no unity. There can be no truth. We cannot be united if we have the wrong attitude toward office bearers. We could not then witness to the world that we have one head, Jesus Christ, who from the heart we love, we honor, and we esteem. And we show that by esteeming his servants. For he said, "When you receive one whom I have sent to you, you receive me." May God so bless. Amen. Father, we thank thee for thy word. We know that it is spoken in weakness. We pray, O Lord, that thou would take away that weakness, but nevertheless, that the Holy Spirit may, in faithfulness to the word of Christ, apply that word to our hearts. We again pray for our elders, and we pray for us as a congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.